Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus ends our parable today by saying this: "For many are called, but few are chosen." Many are called. And the call that comes to the many, and we are the many, that call comes to us from the Holy Spirit of God by means of baptism, by means of the word of the scriptures, and by means of the sacrament of the body and blood of Christ. In all of these, we are being called to the great marriage of the King's Son. He says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who made a marriage for his son." That means that this marriage of the King's Son is a picture for us of the kingdom of God's grace come into the world through one person, Jesus Christ. He did not come to be a new lawgiver. He did not come to be our fearless leader. He came into the world to be our Redeemer and our Savior. Jesus saves, and He saves to the uttermost those who put their trust in Him. So every promise of God is comprehended in the picture of this marriage feast for the King's Son. First of all, we see that it has to do with a father and a son. Just like our Father sent His only begotten Son into the world to save sinners from sin, death, the devil, and hell. And we learn that all things are ready. Come to the marriage. That is the invitation to Christian faith. Everything necessary for your salvation has already been accomplished, purchased, and won for you by Jesus Christ. And He offers this to us in the gospel, the good news, and He invites us to believe it. And when we believe it, we are in possession of it and of all its benefits, even though we don't deserve any of it. What do we deserve? We deserve hellfire and damnation because of our sins. But God does not desire to give us what we deserve. His earnest desire, at the cost of His only begotten Son, is that you be saved, that you find the forgiveness of sins that has been achieved for you in Christ, and that you live in this wonderful gift of new life that is yours in Christ Jesus. And that's what it means when it says many are called. Now, some people would say, well, you know, yeah, the gospel goes out to all people, but God really, He doesn't really want to save all people. What does the Bible say? The Bible says, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That is, our Lord clearly reveals to us in Scripture that when the call of the gospel comes to you, the Holy Ghost really means you. And He really wants you to receive the blessings of the kingdom of God. And he sent his word, he sent baptism, he sent the sacrament of the altar to you so that you might be saved. Yes, even you might be saved. And so whenever you think, and the devil whispers into your ear that, yeah, that may mean some people, but it doesn't mean me, that's the voice of the devil, right? The voice of the devil is to take Jesus' work and say, oh yes, he did wonderful things. It's not for you though, all right? No, it is for you. God does not desire that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him. Let me ask you a question. Are you whosoever? Yes, you are. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And so God, he is working overtime for your salvation. And that's what the parable is all about. Many are called, and that call is a call that results in the salvation of many. But we've got a problem in our text here today. The problem is not with the kingdom of God. The problem is not with God. The problem is not with the Son of God, nor the servants of God. Everyone on that side of the equation does his job. The problem is, those who were invited to the wedding would not come. Alright? So he sends more servants. Alright? The gospel so often falls on deaf ears. People think that they don't need a Savior, or at least they don't need a Savior now in their life. Maybe when they're old and infirm, then they'll start taking religion seriously, you know, when they're kind of helpless, and then they'll start paying attention to God's Word. The problem with that is that they almost never do. Because by the time you get old and infirm in your sins, you decrease the likelihood that you will ever come to repentance. Are there people who in old age repent and believe? Yes, there are. But don't you count on it. All right? Now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Now is the opportunity, because now Jesus is calling you into the kingdom of grace. So he keeps sending servants out there. And the Bible says, but they made light of it. They thought it was no big deal. They thought it was not important for them at all. They made light of it. And it says that they went one to their farm and another to their merchandise. That is, they considered their earthly benefits, their temporal goods, more important than the condition of their soul. And the whole world is currently in that condition. Everybody thinks they've outgrown Jesus. They've outgrown the Bible. They've outgrown the Christian faith. They don't need that old-fashioned stuff anymore, because we've got all manner of good, modern, wonderful stuff. It's all the dust of the devil's footprint getting in our mouths. Everything that the world holds up to us as a savior is death, death, and more death. There is only one savior, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And yet it says here, they made light of it, and they preferred their farming, and they preferred their merchandising. And then there were others, not content to just despise the word of God, but they intentionally mistreated and killed the servants of the Lord who preached the good news to them. All right, so the king is fine. The son is fine. The wedding is fine. The servants are fine. The problem is with those whose hearts are hardened against the word of the gospel, and they will not receive it, and they will not hear it, even if they have to kill people and defeat people in order to keep the gospel away from themselves. Now, what happens to such people? The king was wroth. He sent his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. That is a picture of the condemnation and damnation of those who remain impenitent in their sins. But notice that in the very next verse, the king says to his servants, "The wedding is ready." Wait a minute. Didn't we just hear that nobody wanted to come to the wedding? And yet, it doesn't stop the wedding from coming. The wedding comes. The kingdom of God comes. Nothing can stop it. All right? No persecutor, no tyrant, no politically correct person, no slave to political correctness. Nobody can stop the kingdom of God from coming. It will come. And guess what? There will be guests at the wedding. The king says, "Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage." So they went and they did it, and they gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And this is what we see right here today. The wedding is furnished with guests. There are those who have come to faith by the gospel, and they rejoice. They rejoice that their sins are forgiven. And they rejoice to be counted among the redeemed of the Lord and among the saved of the Lord God. So all is well. But then the king comes in, and he comes in to view his guests. You know, because being a king in those days, you know, you had the whole room filled with guests, but you ate in another room by yourself because you couldn't really eat with the people. You know, you had to maintain your royal dignity. So he comes into the room and he surveys his guests. And he finds there a man that does not have on a wedding garment. And he says to him, "Friend, how is it that you came in here without a wedding garment?" And the man was speechless. The man was speechless. Now, what does this mean? It means that even among those who profess to be believing Christians, there are those who have no real faith in Christ. Oh, they want to be considered Christians. They want to be considered upright and good people. They want to be seen as among the people of God, among the Holy Christian Church. The problem is they have never repented of their sins, and they have never trusted in Christ as their only Redeemer, and therefore their sins are not covered by the precious blood of Jesus. They are standing there naked in the face of God, with their sins unrepented of and unwashed in the blood of Jesus. And so, how did you get in here without having a wedding garment? You see, there are people, they know how to say the creed and the Lord's Prayer and the Ten Commandments. They know the liturgy. They know what's expected of them, and they go along with it, even though they do not have true faith in Christ in their hearts. And therefore, after living a life of hypocrisy, they end up being cast into hell. The king says, "Bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen." And Jesus wants us to be among the few who are chosen. He has sent His invitation to us. He gives us His wonderful gospel, not only in the Bible, but also in baptism and Holy Communion, so that our hearts may be anchored in the grace of God, that we may know our Savior and trust only in His merit to save us from our sins. He wants us to be among the few who are chosen and not among the many who are called but who refuse to come. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.